And you may want to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 7. And remember, we were sharing in the light of the Spirit of God's ministry from Genesis to Revelation. And as we looked at some of that, and in particular, it is summed up and put together in this particular section where our Lord, chapter 7, speaks of the feast, chapter 7, verse 37, 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man, they may or may not, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet crucified. He had to be crucified, glorified, so the Spirit of God's ministry could come on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. So you can't have any of the benefits until Christ dies on the cross. And then you can't have the benefits until the Spirit of God makes all of those benefits possible. They're impossible. They have awesome benefits, but you cannot have them. You cannot know them in an experiential way apart from the Spirit of God's ministry. Therefore, we spent a little bit looking and in chapter 7, and we looked at the last day, and God says, what do they have to do? During God's ministry, what are you looking for? Well, we're looking for a hunger. God died on the cross to save, you hear the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And if you understand that you need life, you don't have life. You don't have a relationship to God, etc., then you would believe. And so having believed, you get saved in a wonderful, wonderful way. And having get saved, therefore you want to have the benefits of being saved. I can give you the whatever it is. I can give you your inheritance. I'll give it to you. You have it. It's yours. But you need to exercise it. Otherwise, you don't have it. You do have it. I do have it. But I don't know. I have no benefits from the exercise, from the relationship to my inheritance. So, and literally you do have, you are joint heir with Christ, Romans 8. You're a joint heir with him, not just an heir. You're a joint heir with him. Right then. Now, having said that, therefore we looked at thirst. You have to be thirsty. You have to understand there's more. If you don't understand there's more, you never take it. You never go for it. So you have to understand God gave you the inheritance. God gave you his saving grace. God gave you the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the gift from the Father. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of God, wages of sin are death. The gift of God is eternal life. When you receive that, you got it. So the believing heart has that, no question. Now what are you going to do? John 10:10. I have come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. Where's that? abundant life. I mean, so therefore there has to be a thirst, a hunger. In other words, you just got your, use your inheritance again. You have the inheritance. Now exercise it. But if you don't, if you're satisfied with it, you can just put the inheritance in a box and keep it there. And you never have to use it unless you hunger to have that in thirst, that inheritance. Do you want to have what you have? Do you want to exercise what you already have? Most believers never do it. No, I don't. Man, the whole world would be different. If they did, they'd be different. No. So, God, well, we get a thirst. So, in order, we did that, but doing it each, I'll never overdo it. I'll never overdo it. Our Lord could say, believe, 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 as we'll do in the second. Believe, believe, believe. And you say, well, I heard that. Well, until you believe, I'm going to keep saying it to you. I'm going to keep saying it to you, like in Isaiah. Line upon line, precept upon precept. God said, I'm going to say it over and over and over and over again until you get it. Say, I heard it. Have you learned it? Not do you know it. Are you living it? Are you possessing it? And if you're not possessing it, you better hear it again. You better hear it again because it's essential. You have to believe. So you have to thirst. And a way to see that, over to the book of Romans, if I can. And what we just said is a key to help you, help me. You have to learn something. Learn means I possess the truth, and the truth possesses me. And I live that. I enjoy that truth. I enjoy that relationship for real. This is what you're looking at in the first epistle of John. What's he trying to do, Spirit of God trying to do? As we're doing it right now, this today, if the Lord tarries, what are we doing? God's trying to awaken the heart to get into what God has already given by way of his Son on Calvary's cross. To get it, that's what it's all about. But we're content often, as we said, where we are. Now, so here in Romans chapter 7, illustration. This is personal for Paul. And Paul, remember, got saved in the Damascus Road. Acts chapter 9, got saved in a wonderful way. And then God had him go aside, put him aside out in the desert, as it were, to learn. He said, Paul, you need to be exercised. Moses was put aside for 40 years in the wilderness to learn. It took him 40 years before he woke up and got rid of all the wonderful benefits of Egypt, which he knew. And therefore, here's the Apostle Paul, and God readies him for the work. And so therefore he has to go through understanding Christ's death on the cross, and the wages of sin is death. And you've got an old sin nature. Chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good, verse 19, that I would, I don't do it. But the evil, which I don't want to do, that I do. I do that. Now, and so therefore, I've got a problem. I want to have the life that God has given me. I want to have the victory. I want to have the benefits. I want the benefits that God has provided for me to be saved in a wonderful way. So therefore, and you have to get to the point where you stop being content with lesser things. You got to get to the point where you stop being so content with nothingness when it comes to God. You know, come to church so you can hear a word about God, and then you're done. So here's Paul. And when you do that, and you know all the psychological stuff, mental stuff, and using an illustration that's sort of old, but there, Einstein said, I think he said it somewhere, and he said, you only use 2% of your brain. 98% you don't even know. You never use it. You never use it. You're conscious of 2% that you go about. The rest of it you never use. Another way to understand that will help us, just think of an island in the middle of the ocean. And an island in the middle of the ocean out there. And when you go to the island, we land on the island. And we're on the island and we have the palm trees and everything that's there. And we go there and we live on that island. And we're conscious of it. We're very conscious of the island. We walk on it. We live in it. But the island is located, here's the ocean all around us. So the only place we see the island is where the island is. All the rest is ocean. But beyond, under the ocean, is that which holds the island up. And you don't see that. You just don't see it. But it's there. The ocean hides it. The reality of the day hides it. But underneath is the island. That's the other 98% using that illustration. And you don't know it. That's your old nature. And that's what's there down in the depths. Do it a different way. Here you and I are sitting here. And we have 3 inches of cement underneath you. And then the steel plate underneath holding you up. You don't see that. You just exercise this, the reality, but you can't. This doesn't exist without that underneath. And you don't know that. That's your old nature, and you're it, that would be conscious, you're unconscious of it. And that's part of your life. And we don't even think about that because we're used to using the island and not understanding what's underneath is holding all that up, the reality of it. So, and therefore, that is there and it sneaks up on us because this we're conscious of this and make believe we got a little volcano down there or something, some hot lava that's stirring itself up, whatever, earthquake down below. And with the right conditions, we don't know it. And normally working on the island, working with our normal work, home, school, play, coming and going 24 hours a day, things in life happen and it gets us without even knowing it. We draw up from the island underneath. Our old nature is there in all of its fullness to exercise back up, to come back up on top of the island. And to show itself. So Paul, what are you going to do? I've got to learn that in me dwelleth no good thing. I got to understand that. Not the part of me I understand, and the other part of me that I don't understand. And all of the magnificence of it, that's, again, another saint. It's a rare thing. Not too many people ever go past the little island. They content with the top and they never seek to develop the whole person using a different illustration. We use 2%. We could have used 5%. We could have developed 5. We could have developed 10. The fellow that passed on the funeral and all of that. At 18, he said, I remember the professor, the guy that taught him, he said at 18 years old, he did a whole thing on tariffs and finances and turned in his paper, and the professor said, he said, no one can do this. No one, I won't even accept it as a legitimate paper turned in until I read the name. And when I read the name, I had to receive it. And the man who told us this illustration, that he, the man who read it, said, that man at 18, he had the right understanding of economics and how it works at 18. And he didn't need to go anywhere. He wrote a perfect paper on economics and how the government economy functions. I thought that was pretty neat at 18. At 18, I couldn't even spell. So just understand. That's something. Wow, that's special. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I need to understand God has a wonderful plan, and I need to exercise that. And if I don't exercise it, I have to thirst for it. I have to want something that I already have that's superior to what I have without it. When I leave God out, I don't have it. I have to thirst for it and want it and believe. And that's what God says over and over. And you know what God says, I thirst, I thirst, I thirst, I thirst. And therefore, keeping that in mind, we're going to go and you know, if you do all those different things in Philippians and that three, do Philippians 3, just to turn the page anyway. Philippians chapter 3. And keeping in mind Paul, who had, I said, I thirst. Now, Paul, you had everything, but having everything only leads to more things. Different illustration. The more you learn, the more you learn, the more you need to learn, and you hunger to learn. And everything you learn takes me next step. I understand. Boom! And I keep going. The more I know, the more I need to know, the more I want to know. Hunger, thirst, that's what you do. That, to understand. Now, and so having said that, here's Philippians and Paul, who had wonderful benefits humanly. He had to put them all aside, as you know, in chapter 3. And in the end of verse 8, I count them all as waste, as dung. I throw them away. That doesn't mean I don't have them. It's just they aren't valuable. They cannot produce life. Death can exit my spiritual death can exercise understanding, mathematics, but my spiritual, it doesn't benefit my spiritual life whatsoever. My relationship to God is a whole nother ballgame. And therefore, I count it all as dung when it comes to that relationship. So therefore, as Paul said in verse 3, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ. Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. There's nothing. I don't think, no matter whatever kind of thing I might have in human life, is nothing. It's only death exercises it, and it doesn't produce spiritual life. So I slide over in verse 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, I'm hungry. I want to know. I want to understand more and more and more and more. And the more you thirst, the more you drink, the more you drink, you want more drink. You want to drink, and you drink again. And water was good. And I take more water, and more water, and more water. That's what I'm going to do. So, having said that, to thirst. And Peter, Paul and Peter, thirsted. So the evidence of the relationship is to be understood. So, chapter 37, John 37, 37. Don't turn there. Chapter 7, verse 37. And you'll notice thirst. And the second thing, thirsting is one thing. Thirsting is one thing. Drinking's another. Whole another ballgame. I have the water, and I see it. That will quench my thirst. But I'm still thirsty till I drink that. Therefore, come unto me and drink. So I got to come. I got to come. I got to look to God and look to God. To God, here I am. Now, having said that, I'll leave that. Well, I won't leave it there because I am sure I'll knock it off. So therefore come, and you know of all the different ways to say it, and to understand come, it's in the present tense, and it's middle voice. You come as you are, you come. So we're to come to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And while you're in John, let's go to stay in John. Over to John and chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, we're going to come. We'll look at the little word come to understand. I need to thirst. Believers aren't very thirsty. They're satisfied with a whole lot of stuff that never goes anywhere. But it's enough. So therefore, and what we fumble through today, what we fumble through, what we're doing, I say, well, I'm trying to get you to be thirsty, but you don't need to drink. You don't need to drink. Just if I did that, I got you thirsty, but go forget it. Let's do it next week. So chapter 10 and verse 9, our Lord, as the shepherd, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, here's the door. What do you have to do? What do you do at the door? Walk through it. Can you stay at the door without going through it? Can you know that that's a door and never go through it? Absolutely. 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 I'm a sincere person. That's a door. I could go through. On the other side, what's on the other side, God? You will find pasture. You'll find everything you need on the other side of the door. But if you don't go in the door and through the door, you'll never find John 10, verse 9. You should be saved and should go in and out and find pasture. All the green vegetation, everything you need is on the other side of the door. But if you don't come, and you don't go through the door. You can sit and be a bishop and pastor and everything you want to be, and you still haven't gone through the door. You can read the verse. I'm reading it. And I never have to go through the door. I can preach that verse and maybe give you 10 more minutes worth of it and never go through the door. It's enough. You're enough. So, I could tell you, there's all these different doors, biblically, different doors, doors you go through. We did all this stuff on guidance, remember? You don't remember. Some of you weren't even born. But we didn't. Go through the doors, and we had guidance. God has open doors, and don't go through them. God has closed doors, knock and get through them. God has all kinds of different doors to see what you're going to do with the door. What are you going to do with that door? What are you going to do? test us. Now, so here, John chapter 10, you'll find pasture. Chapter 14, I got to go through the door. Chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 6. Jesus said unto him, to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh, gotta come unto me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, except by me. You have to come by me. I am the door. You gotta go through the door. You don't go through the door, you don't go through the door. I can do whatever you want, but you never know what the pasture is. You just don't know it. I don't care who you are. You can be a professor of the great university of something. You don't know it. And we shared that the other day. Remember F.B. Meyer, dear fellow, great, dear writer. F.B. Meyer said in his testimony that he did whatever, and he was a speaker somewhere in Israel or somewhere. And in the process, the people where he was invited him out to meet a shepherd who was out in the desert. And they said, I think you'll enjoy, F.B. Meyer, I think you'll enjoy talking to this gentleman out there. And so they took him out to the shepherd out there in the desert with his sheep, and F.B. Meyer was introduced to him, etc. And they chatted and chatted. F.B. Meyer later wrote of that account and said, my life was changed. That shepherd had what I never had, and I'm a preacher. He never had. He has what I don't have, a unique, simple relationship to Almighty God that he enjoys. And it changed my life. It changed my life. That's what has to happen. Otherwise, you got nothing. Nothing. And you won't appreciate this. I wouldn't bother going anywhere, getting into any system. If it doesn't bring me to reality, I'm not getting in it. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with all the dumb things that are out there. They're never going to take me anywhere. And my old flesh nature would take them as a substitute for reality. And I don't want any substitutes, and neither do you. That's the last thing I want, because I'm going to die, and so are you. And my death is not a fun game. It's a pretty often awesome reality. And boy, I want to know as much as possible as I make that to be transplanted. I want to know God. I want to lock it in. It's no game. How do you know it's no game? Christ died for me so that I could go through the door and get there. Christ died for you so that you can go through the door and get there. So it's no game. Church is no game. It isn't a social club. We aren't here to have all the different things. That's why we don't grow. If we just had a different thing, a little fun time and lottery, bingo, and a few other things, you know, and have all those things. Oh, yeah, when you can meet friends and have boyfriends, girlfriends, and all kinds of things, yay! No, no, no. We're here because God took us from humanity, and God saved us because we're here. God saved us and separated us unto himself. And therefore, we're different. We've sent you all this stuff, and you're different. Yeah. You walk in the light as the world lives in darkness. You're different. Uh-huh. I want to enjoy it. I want to know why I'm different. Isn't that why? And that's why you're saved. I hate all the other stuff. because I read it, I'm looking at it. It's not going to go anywhere. And all the people sitting there, no, it isn't going to go anywhere. All the people they know I don't, I'm not going to go anywhere with it. And I know you don't care. You aren't going anywhere with it. So let's share it. See? I get sidetracked. Now, so therefore, we need to have good. One of the places that will help us, Matthew chapter 28. No, Matthew chapter 11 and 28. We're looking. Thirst. If any man thirst, and come unto me. Unto me. Not to anybody, not any old place. No, to come unto me. Chapter 11, Matthew, verse 28. Come. Can't say it better than that. Come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A wonderful cessation. A stoppage of you trying to make it all come out right. And take your yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And remember the word learn, it means to bring into your personal experience. To bring the reality into your heart. To make it real. Not make believe. And you don't have to say, I'm going to believe what I'm going to believe. The more harder I believe, I'll make it true. Is that true? If I just believe enough, I can make it true. You can't make anything true. Belief doesn't make anything true. Belief just enjoys whatever it's trusting in for good or bad. So therefore, you want to bring it into your experience, right? What are you bringing into your experience? God's wonderful person, God's wonderful grace into your heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And don't say, whoa, may not like it. No, God said, listen, whatever I do for you, I understand all your frailties and all your weaknesses and everything about you. I'm not going to do anything that would put you in a place that you can't obey me and can't enjoy me. I'll never do that to you. You may do it to yourself, but I will never do it. Thus, verse 30, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's why. You bring on your own problems. Us humans do. God said, I don't do that. You do. That's your island underneath. Coming up. So now, having said that, come. And therefore, what are we going to do? So you got the idea. I'm just trying to. You can really do all this stuff, you know. We're just touching it just to see. Thirst, come, drink. Come, drink. Got to drink. If you don't drink it, it's no good. And thus, as you know, John, well, you're back over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 4. And you'll remember the woman at the well, easy illustration. Woman at the well. And John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, give me to drink. Thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Sliding down, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's the water in the glass. Verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. God's endless, endless supply of wonderful, wonderful water for all that we need. God, you're going to give all that we ask to drink. And God's going to go. We're going to learn. What are we learning? When we look to God, we aren't thirsty. Our thirst is quenched. When we look to God, he helps us. Now, so, take that apart. When you're 3 years old, and you have your needs at 3 years old, whatever a three-year-old has a need, and the three-year-old looks to the parents, and the parents take care of whatever the need or want of the little three-year-old is, within reason, they do that. The three-year-old has no interest in what a 13-year-old does. No interest. But when you become 13, you have another kind of needs. And the 13-year-old has to what? Learn that they have different desires. They're growing up. They're going through a transition from adulthood to adulthood, and they have different kinds of things. So therefore, they have different needs, and God meets the needs as they are. But the 13-year-old has no understanding of a 30-year-old. No, I don't. And therefore, they have to go. And you're satisfied at 3 years old. You grow up, keep going. And therefore, what satisfied you yesterday doesn't satisfy you today. You say, see, a building block might be a little girl. A little girl has a doll, hug the doll, hug the doll. Hug the bear or whatever you got. You got the thing, you do it. That's fine. But at 13, you don't need to be hugging the bear. It isn't the same thing. Not the same. At 30 years old, it's not the same thing. You're changing. And therefore, you need to be growing and knowing. And therefore, you're going to be drinking. And every time you drink at 3 years old, You say you're thirsty, yes, because you're going to become 4, 5, and 6, and you're going to thirst more. And you're going to keep growing. And the more you keep growing, the more you keep drinking, the more you keep drinking, the more you keep knowing, and you just keep growing and knowing, which is what it's supposed to be. So therefore, as we share together, and remember now we did that in the process. We did in prayer meeting, in Ezekiel, chapter 47, and it's that wonderful chapter and telling us of God's millennial future, in the millennium, and the water, the river is going to come out of the temple, and it's just a little trickle, it just comes out like a faucet, and it hasn't gone very far, and it goes 15 miles as 15 miles to the Dead Sea, and on the way there, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It doesn't get little, it grows to way up here so that Ezekiel could drown in it. As he walks in it, he says, wow, God's water of life, the water of life. And Revelation 22, and God, what are you going to do in the new heavens and a new earth? What are you going to do? I'm going to have a river come. Out from where I'm standing, said God. Out from God. There's no more stars, no more moon in the millennium, in the kingdom, new heaven, new earth. God is the light. There is no more night. There is no more stars. God is just God. In an awesome way. And God said, out from me comes the river to show you what? The river of life. I provide everything. And that's what the river's for. Out of your belly, John 7:38, shall flow rivers of living water out of you. When you receive Christ as your Savior, He is the water of life. And he, say it another way, it's even better and more right we can do. God provides grace. John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he is full of grace and truth. And God's grace means he's going to give like the river all of himself. And therefore, God gives this grace in his marvelous way. So God, verse 16, John chapter 1, and you're going to receive grace upon grace, endless flow of water, endless life. He called eternal life. What is eternal life? John 17:3, I am eternal life, said God. I am your life. Endless, flowing out of me. Endless. And you'll drink and you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. Awesome. Now, having said that a little bit, and therefore, over if I can, over in John 7 again, in verse chapter 7, John, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, may or may not, let him come unto me and drink. He, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And those, verse 37 and verse 38, require verse 39. The Spirit of God is the one who makes it happen. And you leave him out, you got nothing. You got nothing, man. Nothing. All you got's a bunch of words. Now, and believe, to believe, to be believing. Now remember, you can believe. And believe, I'll see if I can exercise it all right for you. I believe, I'll do my glass of water again. Maybe not. Maybe, here's my watch. I believe that's my watch. I believe the watch is able to tell time. I believe that. I believe it. What's my relationship to the watch right now? I don't have a relationship to the watch. I believe. You bet I do. I believe that George Washington crossed the Delaware. I believe. I believe. I believe Hartford's north of us. I believe. I believe. I believe. I have no relationship to anything. I believe. I believe Jesus died. I believe it. I don't have to have a relationship to God. I can even believe he died for me and have a relation to God. But I'm not saved. Why? I didn't receive it. Belief is, I'm trying to help you with the word belief. Our Lord would say it in John chapter 2. I would not commit myself to them. They said they believed, but I would not commit myself to them. Our Lord said, I don't trust them. Because you can believe something without ever believing it. Is that all right to say? I believe the bus goes at a certain time, but I'm not going to go on the bus. I don't get on the bus. If I believe about, I need to receive. I need to believe. The pew is there. And you're believing in the pew. And I know you're believing in the pew because you're sitting in the pew. That's why I know you believe. Someone else could be out in the street, walking down the street, and there's a pew in that building. That's true. And I believe this pews. But what's the relationship? None. I don't have any relationship. I believe it. I don't have to have a relationship to believe. I can believe a whole lot of things. But when I believe in the active verb going to do it, I believe. I believe in the watch. I wear the watch. It's my watch. You believe in the most of you have shoes on your feet of some kind, slippers, something. Why did you put them on? There's all kinds of shoes. Go to the shoe store. Go look at the people all wearing shoes. You put those shoes on because they're your shoes. And you believed they were your shoes, and you're wearing them. Right? No? That's what you're doing. Your belief is active. You've got to receive Christ, believe. Otherwise, there's people that just believe, I believe he died. And that doesn't make you saved. And that may be a reason why people never grow. They never go anywhere. They sit in church for never grow anywhere. How come they never go anywhere? I believe you've got to be receiving, eating, drinking, thirst, drink, come, drink, believe, believe. Let it get in, let it find its home in your heart. I believe that 2 times 2 is 4. That's true. That's another good illustration. You get the idea. I have to understand. I have to have a relationship. Believing makes for a relationship. If the relationship is missing, it's just belief. Belief isn't active. Years ago, when I was in the IFCA office kind of stuff out there, doesn't matter, IFCA board. And I remember we had a meeting and stuff, and I was sitting in the meeting, and I opened my big mouth about something, and I said whatever, and whatever they were looking at. I said, yeah, you need to be a believing believer. That's what I said. And you all know it because that's what I told you. That's how we think. Believe, you got to be a believing believer. And they raised their hand and said, well, what do you mean by that? Now, why would you ask such a dumb question? What do you mean? Believers need to be believing. Otherwise, it isn't going anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. Nothing's going to happen. I believe. You're going to hear wonderful things from God's word if God help us in the hours that lies ahead. God help us. But if you don't let it sink in, if you don't thirst and drink, and all you do is let it sit out here, it isn't yours. It isn't yours. You're just hearing it. That's all you're doing. And you can collect the information. You can get up and even bring the message. But it isn't real. And that's what you want to have. Come, thirst. Come, drink, and believe. You got to be believing. I wish the rest of the people, they'll never hear that. They'll come and go in a little while, a couple, if the Lord tarries, some people will come in. They never hear. They never know any. They'll never hear this. They'll never even think about it. And they'll keep doing what they do, the way they do it, till doomsday. When are they going to fix it? Well, I don't have to. No one ever told me to fix it. No one ever told me to rethink some things, what I'm doing. How much am I really believing? You see, well, I believe. Yeah, goody. Good for you. That's a starting point. But if you don't believe, you don't have it. The reason you have the pew is because the reality of the pew, you're letting it hold you. When you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're letting God be God. That's what you're doing. You're letting God save you. No? You're letting God save you. That's what you're supposed to be doing, you see. Otherwise, you don't have anything. And you wish you could help people, but it's just the way it is. And you have to live with that, dear friends. We do the best we can with each other to try to help each other, knowing people who only drink only know how much they thirst. And I can't make... You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Is that right? You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I can tell you, get to the water. I can't make them drink. I'm going to say it, make them drink. But they don't drink. What do they need? Well, maybe you're a horse. You need some salt. You need to get you salted. So when the horse's throat and everything got all that salt, I need water. Yeah. So what are we going to do? We're going to throw the Word of God out and make it salty. So that what? Maybe the heart would say, well, boy, I need to thirst. Boy, I need some more. Good. Get thirsty and drink. No? And as you come to the end of the age, it's going to get less and less and less and less and less, and you aren't going to stop it. You're not going to stop this. It's where it's going. Our Lord said, Luke 18 and that 8, when I come, will I find the body of truth to be believed? And the answer is rhetorical, no. No, I'm not going to find. If the righteous hardly be saved, they're just going to be saved by the skin of their teeth. That's how it's going to be. I can't change it. I can see it, but I can't change it. I have to live with it. So do you. So all what we do is try to see, understand it a little bit, and then we go for it. Now, oh boy, I got to quit. Oh, quiet for 2 minutes. 2 minutes over. Double your speed, whatever you have to do.